Amanda is going to join me. She is our very first guest for Biz Bestie Week. I'm really pumped about this because Amanda and I met online and we like worked with each other's companies for a while, and then we went to Palm Springs. Hi. Oh my gosh, did you see the school called me right when I started the live too?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on here. I know it's kind of like a weird concept of like Instagram Live, podcast, all the things.
I love it. I'm here for the innovation. So like, kudos to you for thinking of this.
And it's so fun because it's like Valentine's Day week, and of all the people on the internet, you're definitely one of my favorites. So it just feels,
I feel the same way. That's why I wanted you to come on this week so you could be part of Biz Besties. And I was hoping that what we can do is talk about how we just like became Biz Besties and the crazy things that we've done and are going to do.
Yeah. And for our story. I love that. What I love about our story is it's very out of character for me. If anybody knows me, and honestly, you too, I feel like we're like planners. We're like, okay, let's make the plan and we're going to follow the plan and everything's going to be fine. We're going to like do the routine with the kids and the family. But the way that we met and then the way that we became friends is really funny. Should I start the story?
You said that I thought you found me first and then it got crazy.
Yeah. In a typical Amanda fashion, I slid into your DMs. I think I like filled out the form on your website.
No,
but here's what happened. I have an agency, and part of our agency, we have an education branch for those that
you probably don't
pitch your brand.
You can pitch it. It's cool.
Oh, it's cool. So we have an education branch where we teach moms how to be virtual assistants in our course. It's called Full-Time BA. And we were running ads to that program, and not anything wrong with the past ad company that we work with. They just didn't specialize in the course for your online business space. They were more like a physical product based. And so I was looking for a new person to run ads. So I was like, okay, this isn't working. And I literally went to Instagram, typed in Facebook ads agency, looked at probably 20 different profiles, and I saw yours. And I was like, that's my person. I love her. I like immediately was like, we're going to be friends. And so I remember we hopped on a call to talk about the ads. And instantly I was like, yes, hired, done. Where do I sign? We like quickly, obviously hit it off. And you randomly reached out to me. How long have we known each other at this point?
It was up on me.
It was not long. We had only met on like maybe Zoom and talked online. And you're like, hey, I'm going to California to this conference. We live in Georgia, by the way, which is on the other side of the country for those who don't own a map.
And
she's like, I have extra tickets. Do you want to come? Now, keep in mind when she asked me, the conference was in like a week.
Yeah,
I was like, It wasn't like months away or anything like that. And I remember telling my husband, like, hey, I think I'm going to go to California. And he was just like, okay, I guess my mom can watch our kids. Like, it's just like, what is happening right now? And I went and it was so much fun. Like, I still think about that trip and how awesome it was. I had never been to California before. So I was like shocked at how gorgeous just the scenery was. It has my heart. I'm in love. I want to go back.
It was so fun. I know. I had been a couple times before then. But what's so funny is because I had bought tickets for my whole team. And then like two out of three people that were supposed to come, two of them couldn't come. So I was like, these tickets were like, I really feel like they were like $800 or something. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to just waste them. So I'm going through my list being like, who could I invite to come? Who would I want to spend a weekend with? Who would I like offer to stay in our hotel
room? Yeah, that's a big one. Like, that's how you know you really know somebody and you're like, okay, with their company, if you can share a hotel room with somebody, like,
yeah. Funny because like I barely knew you, but I was like, you know what? It's going to be fine. And I was going with Madison, who's like our operations person. And she's also my cousin through like my husband's family. And I was like, Madison, what do you think about like sharing a room with this girl that's on our client list? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, she's just so down for it too.
That was a really good trip.
Yeah, it was a really good trip. We were going to, well, I guess maybe I shouldn't mention the conference name, but we were going to a conference that didn't end up being a super great fit for the business for me. And I was like, I don't know about this. So we pieced out one day and rented a convertible. And
it was so fun. You guys, like when we say business conference, we thought that it was a business conference.
Yeah.
But when we got there, it was kind of like for like hobbyists.
Yeah.
Who just got started. if they were not making money. And yeah. like, there's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't exactly what we thought we were going to. We really thought we were going to like something that was going to benefit us as creators. Anyways, it was just really funny. So we were like looking at the sessions like, okay, not to be rude, but this is does not yeah. apply. Like, and so we skipped like a whole day and we rented a convertible. Like that was so fun. And it was actually like really easy to do. But what was so I loved it when we went to the mountain. So it was full because we were in Palm Springs and it was gorgeous, like 70 degree weather. And then you go like 15 minutes upwards and it was snowing.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, I felt like I was naked because yeah. I had on like
a white like crop top with like high waisted jeans, no jacket. Like people were staring at us like, what are these girls doing?
People had snowsuits on,
like actual snowsuits. That's the crazy part.
They were. And they were like really ready to like hike in the snow. Like it was kind of crazy. I was like, oh, people came prepared. I was more like, can we just like sit at the bar and have a glass of wine at the lodge?
Which is definitely what we did. But it was funny too, because like we didn't even plan that. We're just like, oh, I wonder where this road goes to. And just drove up it.
We did. And like, I remember the guy stopping us and being like, what are you here? And we're like, we don't know. We're just driving. Can we go this way? And she was like, yeah, you just have to pay. And I was like, oh, okay. Cool. Here's our honey. But it was gorgeous. Like, it was so pretty. I want to go back. Like, literally, the views were insane. And it was, like, shocking because you would walk out of your hotel and then there was just these beautiful mountains. But it was so weird because it's, like, warm. But then you
yeah.
No, so it was different for somebody that was on the East Coast.
Yeah. Same. Well, my other friend who I went to Palm Springs with, I don't know what it is about Palm Springs. But it's the place I go with people I don't actually know yet. But I went with her during COVID and we stayed at the same hotel, the Saguaro, the one that's like, if you've ever looked at pictures of Palm Springs, that super colorful hotel, it's so cute, but it's a teeny bit sketchy. Like,
yeah.
Like this much sketchy. Yeah.
The pictures make it look like it's super elevated, but then you get there and you're like, were these pictures taken like 20 years ago? Yeah. I'm getting my house cleaned, guys. That's just real life, right? Let me just tell you, this is a side note. One of my self-care things that I'm doing for 2024 is I decided to like put aside some of my money that I would probably spend at like Target. And I listed in the house cleaner and it has been really life-giving to just know that there's one less thing on my plate that I have to be responsible for. It's so nice. Like I love that.
That's like a really good idea. I used to get the house clean sometimes. We lived up in North Carolina or South Carolina, but I live in the boonies. Like I don't think anybody does that here.
I know, we found them through our church actually, so it's like, you know, it's like really trustworthy. And it feels good to like support your congregation and all that
kind of stuff. I love that. I think that might have been another reason why I was like totally okay with you coming along and like inviting you and not being a total weirdo. And the same thing with Mariah is because we had both talked about like our faith really strongly like at the beginning. And so it's like, okay, I know she's not gonna like kill me. Now, will she be annoying like on long periods of time? I don't know, but she seems really cool, so I don't think so. So let's go.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to worry about any killer vibes over here. I can't even like watch that kind of stuff on Netflix because it is gets like embedded in my brain. And then
same. I watched an episode of, what is it called? Like Black Mirror or something. Have you ever heard of that?
I watched an episode of that and it messed with my head for like a month.
God, no, dang, I still think about it sometimes. I'll be like just sitting there. I'll be like, I wonder if this is all fake. I'll be like, oh, no, don't go there.
It's too much for my brain to handle. I have a really visual brain. Like, I can, like, really see things. I think I was always good at math and stuff like that because I can, like, see things in my mind. And stuff like that, I can't do it. I also started watching this really scary thing. What was it called? And I, like, watched, like, half the episodes, and then I couldn't watch it anymore. And then I had to read what happened because I needed closure, but I couldn't watch it. I think it was called Dear Child. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
It's on Netflix. It is terrifying.
Okay.
It is. About, I'm not even gonna get into it, but it's about kidnapping and kids, and like as a mom, it's horrible.
It's really bad. That's a note for me. That's a note. I watched How to Catch a Murder. Is that what it's called? I can't even remember. Anyways, I watched one of those like popular shows, and I was like a couple seasons into it, and it got to be like too much for me, so I had to do the same thing. I just thought, I'm not watching this anymore, but I need to know what happens. So
I read it online. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta close the loop, you know? You can't leave it hanging.
100%. 100%. I want you to tell us, though, about your business a little bit. You're going to come back on, is it next week?
Yeah. I think so. I'm right. I'll check the Google calendar. Never
fine. It's fine. Yeah, I do want you to tell us a little bit about your business. Next week, we'll talk about your story and like how you got into it, because that's the whole Girl How That Happened thing, is trying to help people like see what's possible for them. And there's all kinds of options, and you have the best story for that. So I'm really,
well, thank you.
Really excited about that. But your business now, I bet I don't even know like all the changes, because it's been a minute since we've talked.
Gosh, I know, it's crazy. I feel like in the online business world, a month can be like a year, and which is really great, but then sometimes crazy at the same time. Well, I started out as a virtual assistant, and I know I'll get into that, you know, in the next episode, if you will, in the part two. But what I have now is a marketing agency, and we have two different types of people that we serve. We serve bloggers and influencers, which is really fun, and then we get to serve content creators, online businesses like myself and you, and we help specifically with content creation. So anything from social media, email marketing, SEO optimized blog posts, and our goal is really to be able to offer a cohesive strategy across all platforms. So you guys all know like content creation is such a pain in the butt as an online business owner. I personally struggle with it, and that is what I do for a living, which is sometimes ironic. It's like, you know, the cobbler with the kids' shoes, yep, or whatever that saying is. That is me. So I understand the pain firsthand, which is why we're so passionate about being able to offer that for clients. So that is what we have. And then I mentioned we have the education arm, which is like my passion, being able to help other moms be virtual assistants so that they can work from home and make full-time income and be home with their kids or whatever that looks like for them.
I love that so much. I think it's funny to me. People don't understand how much money you can make doing random stuff online. Like, being a virtual assistant could mean a million different things. Like, yeah, you can make it whatever you want to make it. And being a business owner, like, you can do anything you want. You can sell anything. Your knowledge and information, even if you don't have, like, you don't have stock or things like that. And so I love that I don't want to give spoilers for your next episode. But I just love, like, the lot of people's story has been a have to kind of situation. Like, they could have gone and gotten another job somewhere else or doing something different, but they were like, you know what? I'm just going to make this work. Or a lot of people just kind of like fell into it. They were like doing it on the side, and they're like, oh, this is a real thing. I can make like real money. And it's funny to me too, because when I worked in social work, which is like basically what I always think back to when I'm thinking about like what I did in real, quote unquote, real life.
I know.
Yeah. I made $2,000 a month. And I thought we were living on easy street back then, like $2,000 a month. And I was like, so thrilled with it. I worked probably 60, 70 hour weeks because social work in the government, it's just so broken. And I had a baby at home, Amelia. She was just born. And I actually took the scheduling call for the interview while I was in labor with her.
Okay, well, holy crap, you have me beat, because yes, you. I don't know what I was doing, like eating pizza, and then I ended up like throwing up. I don't know.
That's really sad. That's really, well, you know what? It only shows my lack of boundaries at the time. So. I don't know if it's like a thing I should brag about or not. But anyways, it just blows my mind, because whenever I have my paychecks now, I always think back to like when I worked in social work and I made $2,000 a month, or when I'm working with a new client, you know, like we're an ad agency, so we have a premium price. And like, I want to apologize for that. But then I'm also like, listen, we're going to do the dang thing for you. Like, it's going to be, you're going to get a lot of our time. And we charge more than $2,000 a month. And it's just like, it's a crazy mindset, I think, like a mind.
It's really a mindset shift. I'm the same way. I remember to this day, my corporate job, my take home pay was $3,604 on the dot.
I love that.
I already remember that kind of stuff. And I remember because I would get paid like like the same times every month as you do in like a salary job. And I thought we had like a great income. I was like, I'm in my 20s. I'm doing so much better than my friends. I was able to like check these boxes or whatever. And it wasn't until experiencing my situation, I had my first son and I was opened. My eyes were opened, if you will, to the online business world. And it's crazy how money becomes so relative. Like, that used to be such a large amount and would go so far. Now, granted, inflation does play a big role into that in our world. But now, I mean, we have retainer packages at that same price for our clients. And it's a little bit different because, you know, you have to build in expenses and all that. So, like, now every time a dollar comes through the business, it's not, like, in my hand. But you realize the fluidity of money and how much easier it is to access it. And it's cool because, like, you're in control. Whereas, like, it didn't matter how hard I worked or how much money I made for my corporate company, even though I did do really good in that role, like, I was always going to only make the 3604 every single
2 weeks or whenever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true. And I think it's interesting because when I grew up, I didn't have a lot of money, you know, like, our family didn't have a lot of money. But I didn't really know that necessarily. I just thought that was how everyone lived. And then as I got older, went to college, and I think one of the things that opened my eyes a lot was one of my best friends in college. We were talking about our, what is that form that your parents, the FAFSA?
Do you know about? Yeah.
Yeah. We were filling that out, and she was like, something happened. She needed help or something. And she showed me her FAFSA and her dad's income. Her mom was stay-at-home mom at the time. Her dad made like four times what my dad made. And I thought my dad made a lot of money. And I was like, oh, but they also lived in New York City. So I guess everything's kind of relative. But it's just like that blew my mind. And then when I became a wedding photographer, it was like going to the weddings that were like really like at the golf club, you know, with like all the fancy things. And when I got to that level of photography, I was like, this is a life people lead. Like, how do they make their money? What does it look like to make that much? And they were super nice. Like, most people were just like really, really nice, really down to earth. They just had money, you know? And so I think if you can wrap your head around that and see what people are doing to make that money and then realize, oh, I could do that too, which is the whole point of Girl, How'd That Happen? Because like everyone, there is absolutely room for everyone to make that kind of money. If you can, and it makes me sound like one of those mindset people who are just like, you believe it, you could do it.
But it's kind of true. It is like a mindset shift. And I noticed it because I don't know if you experienced this, but my husband is still a W-2 employee. And so sometimes it's interesting, me being in the online business world for as long as I have now, it's so normal for me to talk about these things. But for him, he's still kind of in that employee mindset. And so he's got to work to our side a little bit just by being married to yours truly over here. But there are still moments where I'm like, ooh, that's an employee mindset. And like some of that unlearning only comes with time. But the faster you can force yourself to get uncomfortable with that kind of stuff, the more you're going to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a matter of like pushing the boundaries of like what you're comfortable with. I remember my early days when I was setting our pricing, I priced based on my budget. And like that made absolutely no sense because those were not the clients that we were serving. And I think a lot of people do this too. And that's like kind of the beginning stages of like getting your feet with pricing models and monetary stuff. But I love the point that you made too of like, these are just normal people. Like the people who make money, a lot of money or don't make a lot of money, like they're all just, they're normal people. So like, it doesn't mean that they're like bad or there's a negative connotation or they did anything weird to like obtain that status. It just means that they went about it in a different way. And so I think that's what's really cool to remember. It's like, it really is possible for anybody as cheesy as that.
I feel the same way, but like it is. And I think that part of that, in part, I feel very, I don't know if I want to say called, but that's what it feels like to me, to really like just be more transparent about how you can make money online and open people's eyes to realize like you can make good money online, like not just a little, you can make a lot of money online. And sometimes with like not as much effort as what you would give in a W-2. Like my husband, same way, he's a W-2 employee and he's a pilot. So with pilots, you actually know your income for the entirety of your career. Like, and I could tell, yeah, I can tell you what he's going to make in 20 years as long as he stays at this company. So it's crazy. And he's excited about that because he's a pilot. And so eventually he's going to be making like tons and tons of money. But, and that's relative too, I guess. But to me, I look at that income. I'm like, I want to hit that in like 3 years, like, or 2 years. And I'm like, it's possible for me to do that if I just scale this membership or add this course or grow a team or whatever. And he's gotten he's gotten better about it, I think, because he sees the money come in and I'm like, hey, let's go to Disney. And then he's like, oh, we can afford that.
Right? Isn't it kind of fun?
It is kind of fun. But it also is sometimes a little bit like infuriating, not with him, but just like people assume that I don't do anything because I work at home. They're just like, oh, her cute little job. And I'm like, I have out-earned Luke in for every year of our marriage up until this year. Like, or no, last year. Like, how crazy. We've been married almost 15 years. And people just assume that I'm going to have just like a little job, little stay-at-home mom job. I'm like, please.
I get that too. One of my favorite things is like when people, like, let's say we're like on a flight and we're like sitting in first class or something like that. And they ask Josh, like, oh, like, what do you do? And he like looks to me and he's like, no, like, it's not what you think. Like, and he like typically looks over to me like, he's like, why don't you go ahead?
Oh,
like, you know, people a lot of times assume that like the male is the primary earner. We even find that, you know, with like the kids' school, because my job, I'm so blessed to have the flexibility to be like the cheesy room parent and like go to literally every like party and book thing and all this stuff. And so they assume that I'm just like a stay-at-home mom. And it's funny to me. So I'm like, oh no, like I actually run like multiple companies.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Like, you know, it's such a mindset shift of like, oh, you actually can do both and you can do them really well. And don't get me wrong, like, we don't have everything figured out over here. There's a lot to be learned still, but I feel like we definitely hit our stride and it's cool to see that too.
It is really cool.
If you're a mom with a podcast who wants to improve your interview skills, learn time-saving systems, sell more of your offers with your podcast, build a thriving community, or even learn the best time to pivot or rebrand, then you are going to want to be in the room on April 15th, 2024 for the Podcasting Moms Conference. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. Elizabeth and I will both be there. And if you grab your ticket through our affiliate link in the show notes or at our link in bio, then we're also going to be gifting you our Grow Your Podcast with Facebook Ads mini course. It's got all the stuff inside that you need to get your podcast in front of a ton of new listeners. I hope to see you there.
I think my husband working a W-2 job has allowed me to take more risks as a business owner because I know at the end of the day, like, yeah, would it suck if I didn't make any money? But we wouldn't be like in a horrible position. And so that's allowed me to make the shift from being a wedding photographer into doing ads full time because I knew that it would be okay either way. And so I think it would be harder if I didn't have that, I don't want to say backup, but if I didn't have that support, you know?
I would agree with that statement too. And we run our health insurance through his company because they offer that for a family plan and they like even like his 401k and like a few other too. And I agree, like it's nice having that, especially in the early days when it's expensive. Like if you look into that, setting up a 401k and a health insurance plan and all these things for your company and the people that work for you. And so having that, I would agree. It kind of does feel like a safety net in a sense.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's like not my safety net, it's his safety net, but it's ours.
Yeah.
So it's exactly.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And that's an interesting point you brought up too. I know we've like moved from the conversation here.
That's a lot of different places. This is what happens when we hang out.
Just be quick. Yes, it does get deep, which I love. That's one of my favorite things about you. It makes me so happy. But with the team and having like a team rely on you and you're supporting their income and their families, that is a lot of stress and responsibility. And sometimes I feel like I get swallowed up in it to the point that I'm afraid to do things in the company. Like I'm afraid to take the risk. And like the best thing that's happened to me as far as that goes is my sister coming on board, which at the beginning was terrifying because she worked, you know, in finance for 10 years, was making good money. And at this, I got to a point where I was like, you know, I could match your salary if you would come over here. And what we didn't really run the numbers as well as we should have because we could not match your salary for the first couple months. But now, like, we are, and that's, it gives me so much pride to say that. But then if there's a bad month and that, like, the we don't take as large of a pay cut, you know, because in entrepreneurship sometimes there's like ebbs and flows. Like you'll have a huge month and then you'll have a low month, especially if you're doing like courses and stuff or even client work for sure, which you know all this. It's the first thing that I feel the worst about, not me not getting paid as much, is my team not getting paid as much. And that's something I wouldn't have known to even think about like 5 years ago, you know.
I would agree with that statement. I was actually watching a video late last night when I was laying in bed. You ever like scroll? I'm like guilty of that. I know you're not supposed to do that because it messes with your circadian rhythm. Yeah. But that's typically like 10 minutes before I go to bed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to scroll for a minute.
Yes.
So I was doing that and I was watching a video by Vanessa Lau. And I don't know if you ever followed her, but she was like up and coming and well known. And she basically shut down her multi-million dollar business exactly a year ago. And she didn't really give a reason why. She's just like, essentially, I'm burnt out and I need to stop this machine. And so she shut everything down. She let like tons of people go, closed down this multi-million dollar business. And she literally just like went off the grid for a year. And she posted this video yesterday, essentially talking about this, about how her business grew and grew and grew. And she felt this immense pressure to continue to move it forward because so many people relied on her, but she no longer felt in alignment with the business and the mission. And I feel like I can relate to this. And even just you talking about like, I feel horrible when I'm not able to meet revenue goals in order to like pay my team a certain amount. And I feel the same way sometimes. We have 15 employees on our staff, and that's a lot to keep up with because in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 15 people, 15 families that I'm responsible for. And it can be intimidating sometimes, especially like when you're talking about, you know, making sure that you're hitting specific numbers for payroll and like what happens if we lose a client. And like all of that is like on the shoulders of the business owner. And that's not to say like I wouldn't trade it for the world, but I definitely think it's, again, something that like forces you to grow. And I think that's the cool thing about entrepreneurship is I look back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like a totally different person. Even like a year ago, I feel like I've grown so much because of situations like this. It's almost like the business puts you in like this pressure cooker where it's like either you're going to evolve or you're going to be done. And so typically you're like forced to evolve, which is cool. But in the moment, man, it's hard. Yeah. And like, all I have to say is thank goodness for my therapist because I can like talk it out with her and then I can process and then I can just move on and make decisions. But I feel like there are some things that you set in place that have helped a lot with that. Definitely like just off the top of my head, creating financial safety net has given me like a lot of peace of mind things because I like having like a nice little cushion so that if we do, like, let's say we have like a really crappy client, so just me, that we don't want to work with, then like we have the option to let them go.
Yeah.
Or like a client decides like, you know what, they had a rough year, they have to cut back on expenses, and unfortunately we might be one of those expenses, then like we're not in a situation where we're like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do?
Yeah. So that's a really,
It takes time to get there, but I feel like it's worth it.
I love that so much. I'm glad you, like, that's a good thing to bring up because sometimes that even can feel like so far away and so hard to do because I know for us, I mean, like we're the same. We have, you know, higher paying clients. And so if you lose one, it's a big chunk of your income. And there was even a point last year where I had one client that I had done, I was doing a lot for, like a lot of like CMO work, and they were 60% of our overall income. And so, and then they kind of had some issues and I was let go because they couldn't afford to pay me anymore. And all of a sudden I lost 60% of my income. And I was like, what the heck? But that forced me to really like up my game. And thankfully I had joined a mastermind. Like I literally had joined the mastermind, I think the week after that all went down. And I was really scared because the mastermind was like $2,000 a month or something, like really expensive. And I was like, I shouldn't be doing this, losing this client. But I just knew like it was the right next step for me. And thank goodness I did, because like that has changed my life, because now we have the membership, we have, you know, digital products, we've got a whole new offer of ad management that's not like only the high end one. So like we're able to have more clients. And when we lose one, it doesn't like rock the boat like it used to, which makes me feel so much better. Like, how much better.
Yeah, it's like somebody who watched you go through that transition as your friend. That was so painful for me to watch because you want nothing but the best for your friends and family because you're like, we just want you to succeed. And so like watching that happen was so hard, but it was also really cool to watch what you did to overcome that, because how quickly you were like, okay, this is an obstacle. This is happening for me. I'm going to take this and I'm going to turn it into gold, essentially, is I feel like what you did. And you were able to so quickly be like, I'm very clear as to who I'm going to serve and how I'm going to help them. And what you birthed out of that was awesome. Like, your membership is so cool. The idea that like somebody can come in and get their ads reviewed and like they have one-on-one support and they can go there and feel confident in launching ads for their business without, you know, maybe being ready for a full retainer of debt for you. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's something where I'm like, ooh, like everybody needs this. And so, I mean, I feel like crappy things happen all the time. And like, even just yesterday, I found out something that was like going on in my business. I'm like, wow, this really sucks. But then I was like, wait a second. This one sucky thing that is annoying and inconvenient to me is actually forcing me to create these policies and procedures. And so I'm really thankful that even though this isn't an ideal situation and it's uncomfortable and it's frustrating for me, at least now I know and that I can set things in place so that this doesn't happen again on a larger scale. And like, now I can move on with it. And like, having that healthy mindset around things, I think is helpful, because then you don't like sit in the spiral and you're able to be like, well, this sucks, but we're handling it and we're going to move on too.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, like, those were the nicest things anyone's ever said to me before about like birthing out. Like, thank you so much, Amanda. I'm going to like cut that little spot and like keep it in my phone.
Oh my God, it's so true. Like, watching, like, even just like you launching things, like I was getting your emails because, you know, I gotta be in this moment. And then I'm like watching the Instagram stories and I'm like secretly like, you go, girl.
You're so sweet. I think that's one of the best things about Biz Besties too. We are friends, like in real life. Obviously we've traveled together now, so like real life friends. But also I feel like it gives me more bandwidth to build relationships, knowing that like almost I have the excuse of like business friends, you know, but then like it's way more than business friends. I mean, like, you know, when my brother passed away last year and you were so sweet and messaged me and voice memoed me, and I just like, I couldn't even function at all. And I don't actually haven't talked about this online at all since then, but I just appreciated you reaching out so much and like letting me have the space to just be like, it's going to be a couple weeks before I respond to this. And it wasn't like, it was a big deal. It was a big deal for you and the other people who reached out to me to like that too. Cause there were past clients who reached out to me. There were people, and like, man, what a great world, you know, like it just makes me have renewed faith in humanity. And it also is like, what a community has been built over time with the type of people that we want to work with the friends that we've made, the community of like other business owners that we build together with. There's nothing more that I like, there's nothing that I love more than getting to work with people like you or people like Mariah or other people who just genuinely are good people, like genuinely making a difference in the world. And especially your mission of helping moms like find of like a foothold into online business so they stay home with their babies, so childcare is not such a disaster of a thing, you know, like it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like true friendship is when you can walk through the really good and you can walk through the really bad and also know that like, hey, I'm gonna be here whether you're ready for me or not. Like, I'm hanging out in the distance and I'm here to support you, but that's how true friendship is. Like, sometimes I don't text my best of friends back for like a month, and they know that like I love them, but like sometimes it's just takes a minute to like, when you're like in the thick of something, to just be like, okay, I can only do what I can do in this moment, and that is like surviving and taking care of my family and like being okay with that.
Yeah,
you know. And yeah, I agree. And as far as like moms go, I mean, I feel like one of the things about the online business world is sometimes it feels unobtainable. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, it can happen for her, but it couldn't happen for me for these reasons. And I think one thing that you're really passionate about, and I am as well, is like being like, no, like literally anybody can do this. Like, you don't need any sort of special skill set or training or degree or whatever. Like, if you have the will, you can develop the skill. And at the end of the day, like, that's all it comes down to, is like having the will and then really just taking whatever it is you're passionate about and monetizing it. And it's really, it can be that simple. And I think that's what's cool, like you mentioned about virtual assistant. It's like, virtual assistant is just basically this giant umbrella that says like, somebody's going to pay you to do something online. What yes. That is up to you. And I think that's the cool thing. Like, for me, I was like, well, I'm not really into like inputting data into spreadsheets, but like I can make you some social media graphics. Like that sounds like fun. Like I can hang out on Canva and you want to pay me to do that. All right, cool. And it's like literally as simple as it can be. And there's so many business owners like myself and others who need the help. And they're raising their hand saying, hey, I want to hire somebody. I don't know where to find these people, but if you can find me, I will pay you. There's a lot of people out there that are like that. Like, I can't tell you how many of my friends are like, where do you find people to hire? Like, that is one of the number one questions they ask is like, how do you find good people online? Because, you know, we've all interacted with like sketchy websites or like, where the case may be where you're like, okay, this isn't like a real person, whatever. And so finding somebody that's just a normal mom who has a skill. Listen, if you can manage a family, you can work online. Like, being a mom. Way harder than work my job online. Like, I'm just gonna like put that out there.
Yes.
My toddlers, I'm like, oh my God, you guys are a lot. Like, I feel like if we wanted to train like our military, we should just have them watch a bunch of toddlers. Like,
you know, that's so much. Can we please like take that to the Senate tomorrow?
Yes, like that should be part of your training. Like, go wrangle these toddlers and you can manage the world. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that is so funny. That is so funny. Well, it's interesting too, because I feel like being a VA is almost like a gateway into forming your own business. And like photography was that for me. But I think that being a VA is like such an attainable way to make immediate money as like a business owner, like becoming a business owner. And then too, it like opens your eyes to the possibilities because you're in it. And then you're like, oh, wait, I know how to garden. I know how to plan this. I can just sell a PDF, or I can make a, you know, 2-hour course on this and sell it for $600 or whatever. Like, it's so doable. It's so doable.
It really is. And it's crazy because like there's like 1,000 different paths you can take, which I think is the fun part, because it's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the hardest part is deciding what you're going to pick.
Yeah. And then if it doesn't work, which honestly, like the first 5 or 6 variations may not work, but because there's so many, you just, you're like, you know what? I'm going to pivot here. I'm going to pivot there. And I think a big part of that is having a mentor who can see your business outside of yourself. Because like, man, I'm too close to it. 90% of the time, I need someone to be like, you're overthinking this, just put it out, like nobody cares except for you. So there's a lot. It's not like easy, I will say, but I do think it's doable, and it can be simple depending on what you want, but you have to be willing to work and put the work in.
It's one of those things where I feel like you put the work in on the front and you'll see the rewards in the long run. You just have to be okay with a little bit of delayed gratification.
Yeah.
But with service, like, go through the messy middle part.
Yeah, for sure. But with service providers, I mean, when someone learns the VA and they're like, start working for someone, that's like immediate money, even if they don't know how to have like an online business. So they've got this cushion while they're learning.
I would agree with that. And I think one of the cool things, and I think you touched on this briefly, was the fact that it gives you the chance to like test out what you enjoy doing. I remember like in my early days, like I did all kinds of random stuff. I'm like, oh, you're going to pay me to do, you know, clean up your inbox? Sure. Let's see if I like that. Yeah. Actually, I don't enjoy that. I'm not going to be adding that to my list of services. And honestly, we still do that in our agency today. Like we closed down like 6 service offerings that we did last year and we're not offering them this year. Because I was like, guess what? This isn't fun. This isn't profitable and this doesn't attract our ideal clients. So like, yeah, we're not doing it. And it can be that simple, which I think is really fun because like we get to make that decision.
Yeah, I love that so much. Well, a lot of times people ask me too, like, because when we're on calls, we'll also do like a little bit of coaching too, because when you don't have a converting funnel or converting website or whatever, you're not going to have converting ads. So when the ads aren't converting and I'm like, well, I think this might be the problem, I just naturally start coaching on funnels. And so recently we've been trying out to see if we like building funnels. And that's been super fun too. But I don't know if we're going to offer it to everybody, but it's something that we have the ability and the flexibility to be able to say, hey, we're going to toy with this. You're willing to pay us a little bit for it and you'll get something out of it for sure. And like it's a lower price than someone who's experienced it. So I think that's really cool. Like thing to bring up too, is that you're not stuck in one thing forever and ever.
I personally love the idea of like a high ticket funnel build out, but that's just me. Cause I know that most people, that's where they get like really intimidated.
Yeah.
Like the idea of the funnel is scary to them when really it's just creating a customer journey, which
exactly. Yes. Thank you.
I feel like your funnel can be very complex if you want it to be. And if you're listening to like some of the marketing gurus out there, they're probably going to coach you in that direction. But in my experience, like simpler is better. Yeah. Like the funnels that I go down where I know that I'm going down a funnel and I'm probably completing said funnel and I actually do what they want me to do, they're on the simple side. It's like, here's the lead magnet. Here's the offer. Here's how I can help you. And I'm like, cool. Here's my money. It's that simple.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I think the other thing about really high converting funnels, and this is so funny how vast of this conversation has been, but is that they're very customer focused. And so what you were saying about like a customer journey, like truly that is what it is. It's just a customer journey that you then plug website into, and then you maybe like support them with some email and some ads, and then you have, that's it. Like that's the funnel. That's it. And I love that so much because if you can break it down, make a simple funnel, then it's a lot less overwhelming. And you can make things crazy and techie later. It doesn't have to be simple forever, but to get it started, make some money and stop, you know, like stressing about it being perfect, which is the key myself too right now.
Literally preach, same. I think one of my favorite additions to the funnel, and you've probably seen this, is the emergence of ManyChat or any other like chatbot platform out there. I feel like that has been game changer because as somebody who's, I don't know why I'm holding this cord, but here I am. I was like tangled in it earlier and I'm still as somebody who does the content creation, that's typically on the front end. So that's helping people like generate what we call leads, aka people, into the funnel. And one of the things that I feel like I've seen with the emergence of like a ManyChat is being able to actually like get people off of these platforms that you're working so hard to create content on and actually into the funnel. Whereas before it was almost like, here's your content and here's your funnel. And these two are separate entities. Whereas now it's like, and it like just goes right in and it's amazing. So if you're somebody that's like, what is a funnel and how do I build this? My first recommendation is like, set up an automation with ManyChat and get those people from your Instagram or wherever it is that they're hanging out and onto your email list so that you can actually talk to them and possibly sell them something.
100%. It's funny you say that. I was on, because we used to do, or we still do that with ads, right? Like, so that you don't have to sell so much on Instagram or Facebook. We set up these ads that then send people to your website. But I was on ManyChat today looking for a client, and you can actually set up a ManyChat that when someone clicks on your ad, which that happens all the time. They click on the ad and then they never do anything else. You can send them a DM on Instagram and be like, hey, here's my website, or here's this, or here's that. And I'm like, this is
you can do a follow-up sequence, and you can do this at any point in time, which is
so it is.
Cool. And like you can, we're getting techy here, but like you can seek it where like those people automatically go into your like contacts is what they call it in ManyChat. And then from your contacts, boop, just drop right into your email list. It's awesome.
That's incredible.
We just launched a new service this year. It's Done For You Reels plus ManyChat. And so it's like this idea of you create the B-roll footage, which is so hot right now. Basically, you just prop up your phone like we are right now. And I just film myself working. And then we slap some really great converting hook text on there, pair it with the trending audio, and push that out like 20 to 30 times per month. Not the same reel, obviously different reels. And then you pair that with your ManyChat sequences, and it is insane. There's a lot of people are seeing from this. And what's cool is like you do that, but then to your point, you're like, okay, of these 20 reels that we posted this month, which one got the most traction? Cool. Now let's put ad spend behind it.
Yes, 100%. And it like that the ad spend quote that is needed behind that can be as low as $2 a day.
Yeah. Like you can go, it doesn't have to be crazy. And like you can do that for like an offer. If you're like, oh, I really want to sell this offer. Okay, let's say 5 reels for that. Which one is the best? Cool. That's your ad. It's so simple. It doesn't have to be complicated.
That's so legit. I did not know that was a new offer of yours. Oh my gosh. See, I knew I would be like, I'm gonna get off this call and be like, I need to hire Amanda again. Like
yes, we're so excited. We literally just launched it like 2 weeks ago. Data pricing. If you're interested, the first 20 people get $200.
Yeah, you definitely need to like drop some links somewhere. So, because I feel like anyone who watches this is going to be like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
I know if they made it this far, they're like, dang, way to bury the lead.
I love it so much. Well, I have like a bajillion other things I want to talk to you about because now like my brain is firing. So it's a good thing we're going to Nashville in like, I don't know, 2 months. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm so excited because it's in a couple months, so that means that the weather is going to be warm. I'm already like planning all my cute outfits that I never wear because I just wear what you see, which is leggings and sweatshirt every single day. Like literally the other day, my toddler, he's 4. I guess he's not a toddler anymore, but in my eyes, he is. He goes, I'm like getting ready to take him to school. He goes, Mommy, why do you just always wear your same pajamas every day? That's what he said to me. Why do you just always wear your same pajamas every day? I'm like, well, actually, although these leggings look like my pajama leggings, they're actually my outdoor. These are the leggings I wear outside the house. And this sweatshirt is stain-free, so it's appropriate to leave the house, okay?
100%. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. I love all of it.
Really fun. I was, like, dying laughing. Kids will keep you humble.
Well, I tell you what. Look, they look. I put on jeans, and Teddy, who's 3, he was like, Mom, is it church day?
Because you put on pants?
I was like, dude, I think sadness.
Actually,
just going to take you to school. Don't want your teachers to think I'm a hobo again. So, you know.
I love it so much. So funny. Yeah. I feel like I can start like an entire Threads account of all the funny things that my kids say to me.
Good. Back then you could, this is how bad it is. I'm like, you should, and then we can monetize it, turn into a,
oh, that's when you know you have a problem.
Yeah. So
I'm like, how can I monetize everything?
Exactly. I'm sure people would pay you. You could be like a toddler influencer.
Yeah. Oh my God. So funny. It would be funny, fun and funny.
Yeah.
It's also like, there's not enough hours in the day.
No.
I'm like, maybe one day when I retire, that's what.
When they're like 25, then we'll do it.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. Well, tell the people, if people are watching, because we've been on for an hour, tell the people where they can find you out online.
Come hang out with me at Amanda Rose Holmes, and our website is The Virtual Assistant Studio.
All the info is there.
The info. And if you want to do this beta testing thing, I'm going to beg Amanda to put the link in the comments down below this video.
Okay, let me. Oh my God.
Well, you can do it after I make it go on the page. That way it shows up on the, however it works.
Okay, I won't do that.
It goes on my feed post.
Because, you know, when you name your company, you forget that that is also going to be the name of your website.
Yes.
That is so,
guys. Well, from the Paid Ad Academy. Yeah,
understood.
Next business, the toddler business.
I think it's short.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, we can do it. 25-year-old toddlers. Oh, that's so really
awesome. We're going to need something better.